one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to speak concerning a woman that didn't have a chance. She'd been discounted. She'd been nicknamed. And by all rights of the road, she should have quit or committed suicide, but she didn't. A message like this offers hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. And I want you tonight to just open your heart and realize that if Jesus would do that for that woman, he sure had got something good for me. Somebody placed in my hands, and I give this to you before I bring the message, two things. Number one, maybe you do not know this, but this is how other countries handle drunk drivers. In Australia, the names of convicted drunk drivers are published in the local newspapers under the heading, drunk and in jail. In Malaya, the driver is jailed. If he's married, his wife is also jailed. I think one of the purposes is to stop them from marrying skunks like that. In Finland, England, and Sweden, drunk drivers are automatically jailed for approximately 1 year. Only thing about that in America, I don't know where we'd have that much room in the jail. South Africa, the drunk driver is given a 10-year sentence in prison, a fine of $10,000, or both. In Turkey, drunk drivers are taken 20 miles from town by police and forced to walk back under escort. Now, I know some over here that never make it. Bulgaria, a second conviction of drunk driving is your last. The punishment is death. San Salvador, drunk drivers are executed by firing squad. America is crazy to kill 50,000 people on its highways every year by drinking. I believe when a man picks up a bottle of beer, he ought to lay down his car keys. No man has the right to drink one drop of intoxicating poison and drive a car. America has made her arteries, highways, freeways, interstates, arteries of death, murder. I'd like to introduce you to one of the trophies of God's grace. And then I'll give you some scriptures where her name is mentioned before the message is done. In the Old Testament, the lawgiver, the law penman, was named Moses. God called him with a sentence of death over his head because the decree had been sent out to kill all the male babies. Moses was spared because his mother and dad dared to be found in contempt of court. And they hid him 3 months and then put him in the Ark of the Bulrushes. And then he wound up being trained, at least paid for, by Pharaoh's court and... After 40 years, he had to run, and he went into the wilderness. For the next 40 years, we find, as you heard me say the other day, it looked like he settled down to not get in the will of God. He was content to live with a man. That was his father-in-law, Jethro. Married Zipporah, his daughter. He had 7 daughters. And he married one of them. And the Lord, after 80 years in the backside of the desert, let him wind up at the burning bush, told him to unsandal his feet. He's on holy ground. Had an experience with the burning bush and with the great I Am. Went out into Egypt and delivered millions and millions of slave Israelites. And then had an understudy, a man who walked beside by the name of Joshua. There were 2 men in the camp that Moses, I think, could really count on. On one occasion, he sent out a dozen to spy out Canaan and to see what they thought about it. They came back with a glowing report, but with great fear and trembling, they said, no way. There were 2 men on the committee, though they were outnumbered 10 to 2. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. God will help us to do it. The Lord hadn't led us this far for nothing. If he could take us across the Red Sea, if he could give us manna from heaven, water from the rock, pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, then our suggestion is, let's head across the river. But I guess they believed in democracy, and they put it to a vote and outvoted it. And so Joshua and Caleb had to wait another 40 years, but I tell you, they were the only 2 that got to cross over. Joshua and Caleb. Now then, there came a day when there was going to be another group sent out. Not many, only 2. That's a Bible number. I mean, by that, to go witness. If they went out 2 by 2. So he said, now we're not going to send out a dozen. We won't take any chance on that anymore. We're going to send out a couple to go over there. And so they did. But they risked their lives. I think that the people in Jericho and in Canaan had already started getting jittery. They'd heard so much about the millions. You couldn't have millions of people walking through the wilderness and still living and not being tangled up in the wilderness and not having any supermarket or something, and yet they were coming right on, and they didn't die out, and it wasn't anybody could kill them, and they marched through the country, I mean, and God gave them victory every step of the way. And so they'd already, and I imagine the orders went out and said, now if any of them, and I imagine they got word, you know, that 12 of them came over, and I imagine they felt rather secure and said, well, at least they know who we are now. They saw us, flex our muscle. They saw our big Anakims and big giants. That bunch of pygmies better not come over here. We'll wipe them out. But 40 years later, we have a couple of spies going across. And they, of course, I imagine they had border patrols everywhere. I imagine they were watching, looking, and sure enough, they got word that they were there. They said, there's a couple of strange men that have come in. And so the assignment was given to the Gestapo to get them, kill them. I mean, when you catch them. I mean, we've got to get rid of them. We can't let them go back. And so they went up to a house. And it was Rahab the harlot. Not a very beautiful name, is it? That's her nickname. They called her Rahab the harlot. She lived on the wall, and Rahab sensed the presence of God in those 2 men. And she sort of made a plea, and maybe you've heard of plea bargaining. She made a plea bargain. She said, my life for yours. I believe that your people are coming across, and there's nobody going to stop them. And we're all dead ducks over here. I'd like to offer you some safety. Now, they're gunning for you now. They're looking for you now. I've already been alerted. They've sent a message to the wall saying, don't let them get away. And they know that you're probably coming this way. And it's going to be necessary for somebody to protect you or they'll get you. And they said, all right, we'll trust you. She hid them and sure enough, where are they? Oh, they beat it. They've already come over the wall. They're gone. Man, those spies were laying up there under the covering and well secured. And there they were listening and heard that bunch of killers. And they took off looking for them. And then, here's what happened. They said, Rahab, do you want to be spared when we come? Oh, she said, more than anything. And they said, this is the simple remedy, and you'll have to believe it. We want you to take a red thread, just a red thread, and you're going to put it from the window to the ground. And when we come into this city, we're going to look for the red thread. And she said, I'll do it. Now, here is the other offer. Rahab, do you have any relatives here in the city? Oh, she said, I really do. I have a dad and mother and others, and I don't know how many she had. They said, I'll tell you what you do. You get all of your kin folks and bring them to your house. Get them right here. Every one of them. There'll only be one red thread, that's all. Brother, there's only one red thread. Buddha doesn't have a red thread. Mohammed doesn't offer a red. There's only one red thread Savior, and that's Jesus. So, she said, all right, I'll do it. They said, now you better start your visitation program. You better be on knocking on doors. And you better. And you know the devil must have said to Rahab, what could an old previous former harlot do in witnessing to a mother and daddy that have had a broken heart over you because of the life you've lived, and they've tacked a name on you of Rahab the harlot, and she might have moved out saying, I want to be free, and got her own apartment and everything else. But God had mercy on old Rahab the harlot. These men got away, went back over there, and brother, she started her visitation program. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, my imagination really had a spell as I began to visit Rahab the harlot and watch the intervening days as it took place. She ran over to her mother and daddy, and she said, Dad, Mother, I must talk with you all in private. I've got something I've got to say. Her man and the dad said, well, Rahab, what's happened to you now? What kind of trouble are you in now? She said, I'm not in trouble, but you are. Said, what do you mean? Well, said, Jericho's going. I mean, it's marked for death. I mean, they know way. What do you mean? Well, the Israelites are coming. You've heard all about that. You've gotten all those reports are true. Listen, I just had two spies from Israel, from over in the wilderness. I hid them. They devised a plan where I won't have to die. And I'm not going to die. And I'm over here to tell you that they included you in the plan if you'll cooperate. They said, what do you mean? Well, said, Dad, it's just this simple. I put up a red thread from my window to the ground, and that's going to protect me and everybody in my house. Don't you imagine her dad said, are you kidding? Have you gone completely nuts? No, Dad, I believe those men are of God. And you know the Lord's been dealing with them and giving them victory, and they're coming this way. Dad, won't you come? Mother, well, said, if he will, I will. You know, isn't that about the way it works? Bunch of old knuckle-headed men, if I ever get you right with the Lord, she'll come on. ERA's not our problem. It's these big sissy bunch of men that's troubling. I mean, if we had a generation of godly men that would pick up the Bible and tell the wife what's what and then tell all about who's who,
yeah.
We'd have a new home. we'd have real victory. Bible said if the woman wants to know something, let her ask her husband at home. But she can't get him to cut off television long enough to ask him. He said, I don't know, I'm going to think that over, but I mean, that sounds awful stupid and silly to me, but my wife and your mother and I, we'll talk it over. She said, I'm going to visit the whole family. I'm going to see the rest of them. And she kept on knocking on doors. And you know, don't you know, it was a thrill when she looked out and saw a member of her family come in, little old suitcase in hand, little old duffel bag, little old tote sack or something to hold some clothes. And here they come. Boy, she said, thank the Lord, there comes another. Ah, it's working. It's working. The Lord is with me. The same God with them with me. And they're paying attention. And boy, they kept, I don't know how full that little old apartment her got. She lived on the wall, you know. And they kept coming. They got in there. And I imagine as they came in, all of them sort of looked sort of sheepish. Said, I never felt so silly in my life. But I tell you, convinced me, I better try it. She said, that's all to gain, nothing to lose. They're coming. They're coming. And said, we're going to be safe. And I think every morning she said, they all come. Let's take a look at the thread. See, it's in good shape. Boy, they looked at that red thread. Can you imagine a whole family hanging by a thread? Huh? Have you ever heard anybody say, man, listen, I just had a thread left. Well, if it's red, it's all right. It'll hold you. Hanging by a thread. Have you ever heard that? It won't break. And so there they are. They're all in there. And then my imagination got to enjoying itself when I looked up and I saw the general coming. General Joshua coming and his men coming. And boy, I can see Rahab. Said, Hey, Dad, come on. Come on to the window. I want y'all to watch. Yonder they are, just across the river. Yeah, but how can they get across the river? Don't worry about that. If you got them across the Red Sea, you'd get them across the Jordan. I don't know how. They ain't got no boat. May not have to have a boat, Dad. You can. Let's watch it and see. Well, now you talk about turning on the television out of the window. They did, didn't they? Boy, that, listen, I can see Rahab. She's so thrilled, and she said, Dad, let's watch. Just look at them. Ooh, have you ever seen so many people? There's acres and acres and this cow pasture's full. Look at them. Dad, they're still a-coming. Yeah, but he said they can't come no further. Water's all around there. Yes, I know, but Dad, I'm telling you, I'm anxious to see. I don't know how they're going to get across, but they're coming on. He told me they're going to cross and be over here. And said, the walls of Jericho are going to fall down, Dad. And we're going to be spared. Boy, this is interesting. And so, in a little while, maybe she heard Joshua bark his orders. God sent the priest. The preacher's off in the water, you know. He waded off in, and all of a sudden, that water begin to bank up and congeal like it did at the Red Sea. And they begin to walk. Look at it, Dad. Papa, look. Mama, look. Brothers and sisters. Boy, I bad to begin to say, listen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And there comes the evidence. Ooh, can you imagine? Why, that thing was out of banks. Why, it was flooding. I mean, it wasn't half dry. I've never seen a fuller river than that. Why, the old Jordan is rolling. Yeah, it's rolling. It's rolling up on both sides. I mean, they're coming across dry shod. And the dad, can you see the family? Oh, can you see the family? And I imagine the dad said, Rahab, run out there and see if that red thread's still there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dad, still out there. Amen. I imagine all of them got to believing in the red thread, didn't they? I imagine all of them were seeing red. Oh, brother, you let millions of them come that close. And the dad said, reckon what you're going to do? You know good and well there's no way for them to knock these walls down. I don't even see a crowbar. They started marching. And I hear the people. And there's only one family on the wall now that is not afraid. The rest of them, of course, might have been making fun, but there must have been an element of fear on the part. Don't you imagine, have you ever stopped to think that when they marched around and Joshua and Caleb and maybe the two spies that came by and they looked up, and don't you imagine Rahab waved and said, attaboy, we're all here. And I imagine when they passed by, she pointed that red thread. Don't forget that red thread. We got her there. I got my mama. I imagine she might have said, this is my daddy, my mama. They marched around. 6 days, one time each day. The seventh day, seven times. And the seventh time, he said, now I want you to shout. They shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. What about Rahab's house? Can you imagine? That's the only house that was safe. The only one that was safe. You know, I got another suggestion, and that is, how many Rahabs were there? Just one. How many houses were there? One. How many were saved? One family. Brother, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced, though I'm sad to say, there's not many people ready to meet the Savior. There are not many people that are saved in this world. I wish everybody were saved. And the modernist, I know he gets up and said, well, I believe if a man does the best he can, that's a lie. Nobody's done the best he can till he trusts Jesus as his Savior. You say, well, don't you believe Catholics will be there? No, sir. You believe in a Baptist going to be there? No, sir. You believe in a Presbyterian going to be there? No, sir. Won't be anybody but saved people going to heaven. Now, that's what stirs up a lot of people and hurts their denominational pride and their religious pride. I'm not interested in your religion. I just want you to come into Jesus. There's only one Savior that saves, and that's the Lord Jesus. And Rahab, you'd say, Brother Olaf, is that all of it? No, sir. Do you realize that Rahab was mentioned many times in the Bible? Did you know that when I walked into the Hall of Fame, Westminster Abbey of Faith, if you please, I walked in there, and I got to looking, and there was Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I walk a little further, and I see Abel on the Hall of Fame, or in the Hall of Fame. I look up, and I see David also, and I see Abraham, and I see Sarah, and I see, oh, listen, those Enoch was translated, should not see death. There's Brother Enoch, walked with God and was not, for God took him. Walk a little piece for. I said, what do you know? Who is that's old Rahab the harlot sticking up there? Isn't that something? Rahab the harlot. Did you know that she got over there in the most practical book of the Bible? Did you know that James said, I tell you what y'all do. Y'all show me your faith without your works, and I'll demonstrate my faith by my works. And then he said, what about Rahab? She was saved by works. I mean, she just didn't get up there and sit still. She went out and got her dad and mother and everybody else. Now, he's talking about justification in the sight of people. Now, real justification comes by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into that grace wherein we now stand. But I believe that the salvation by grace through faith will produce works. And Rahab believed, first of all, and then she said, I'm going to go get my kin folks. Now, to me, that's faith in the harness and pulling and hooked up to the gospel plow. And so, if God could redeem a harlot called Rahab and walk her through the years of time and make her immortal. Now listen, the Lord was not endorsing harlotry or immorality. He was endorsing saving grace. And Rahab was not ashamed to give her testimony and bring her family in to her house under the precious blood of Jesus.
We are delighted that you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Rahab the Harlot. If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3638. And to help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. And we'd like to have today's date and also the call letters to this radio station. Here's our address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And if you'd like to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of October is Brother Roloff really expressing himself in a very unique way in presenting Bible truths and messages during the preaching ministry.
The little booklet's entitled Words Fitly Spoken. And if you would like to have this booklet, ask for offer number RO124. Again, the title is Words Fitly Spoken. It's a booklet of famous quotes with many of his expressions used during the ministry. It's 88 pages long, and I know that if you don't have it by now, you'll want to receive it. Now, when requesting it, ask for offer number RO124 and send in $8. To order by credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write at the roll-off Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, we've had a very difficult summer financially, as many ministries have, and we're trying to catch up with the deficit that we had incurred during that time. So if you can put a gift in the mailbox today, it would be greatly appreciated, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Again, the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.